All right, regular meeting for October 12th, 2021 is in order. Roll call, please. What is it? Okay, I don't know. It says
they all say October.
Yeah.
What date it is.
There is a correction to the agenda. It's dated October 12th. And it should say November 9th.
Okay. 11 for November 9th.
Roll call.
Love you.
Tebow?
Yes.
Mallory?
Here.
Mills? Kukoski?
Here.
Rab?
Here.
Hukard?
Here.
Darling?
To the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Item 4, approval of agenda and receive all communications.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion from Councilman Kupeski and a second from Councilman Mills. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, motion passed. Number 5, approval of prior meeting minutes for October 26, 2021.
I move to accept as written.
A motion by Councilwoman Mills.
I'll second.
Second by Councilman. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, motion passed. So we have a public hearing, so I'll go ahead and open this public hearing for approving a site plan and special use zoning land use application. To approve site plan, you should issue a special use permit for Sheboygan Area Schools to allow Harvest Energy Solutions LLC to install a 4,800 square foot ground mounted solar array system at 128 Garfield Avenue. Do we have any input? I'll open the public hearing. Do we have any public comments on that? Yeah, go ahead and stand and state your name first. Too.
I live right across the street,
okay.
And I'm wondering what this is going to look like. It's going to be any sounds emitted from all the stuff going in there, and is it going to be in any way with plantings of flowers or somehow to?
I'm sorry, could you state your name for the record?
Rose Giles.
Thank you.
There you go.
Okay.
Paul Clark, I don't live within the city limits, but on behalf of the schools, I'd like to ask you guys to approve it. The school stands to save a considerable amount of money over the next 20 years. There is no sound or noise that will come from it. The beauty of it. We can maybe work on that, putting something around it, but it's a very green project, and I think it would be good for the schools and for the community.
I have a
question.
Okay. I'll give a chance for more, but before I forget, I have a comment that was emailed that it looks like. So it's from Marvin.
I believe it's Sophie.
Okay. To whom it may concern, as a resident next to East Elementary School, my concerns regarding the subject are as follows. Noise. If there is humming, buzzing, clicking, or other technology-associated noise, how is it being addressed, managed? Wiring. If the wiring is underground, fine. I prefer not to see overhead cables. Landscaping. Is landscaping planned to blend the installation with the residential neighborhood? From the site plan, the panels will be fully visible from Garfield Avenue and surrounding properties. Request that the installation include plantings to make it aesthetically interesting. While I cannot attend in person, I appreciate the opportunity to comment. Respectfully, Marvin P. So, do we have any other public comments on that?
Deputy Mayor?
Yeah.
As far as I know with noise, there's usually no noise associated with solar panels.
Okay.
Wiring, I believe the wiring is going to go underground and head to the buildings. And landscaping, there is no requirements in our zoning code for landscaping in this particular activity. But you as council can ask that something be done, or you know, fencing or something discreet. So that's an option that you as council could recommend, but again, it's not in the code.
Right.
Well, they would have to pull a permit for a fence, yeah. But they can come to me for that.
Right.
But you can ask them to see what they can do about landscaping, and I can work with them without having to come back to the planning commission or yourselves.
What is the distance between the installation and one of the kids?
From what I understand, and we had somebody here from before for that, that they were on totally opposite sides of the property. There was no, they pretty much were firm at the last meeting that there would be no interaction. There was no worry about the kids climbing on it. They did talk about putting in some mechanisms to prevent kids, you know, like on their bikes or going over to do something, knowing that. So. Initially, I don't think they were planning on fencing it.
It's just no on the site plan.
Yeah, and I think they're considering it now after some comments from the public and, you know, whether it be the school board or whatever it may be. Not sure 100% that they're going to do that, but I think they're thinking of putting some mechanisms to kind of buffer that area from the rest of the school.
Something that damaged from
that's on their, yeah, that's their own dime, on their own dime, or whoever's the company that owns the solar panels, that would be on their own dime.
The thing that got my attention was all these signages they have in their packet, warning electrical shock hazard. Similar things. That's what got me thinking is we need to have that fenced in.
All right. And close the public hearing. Yeah. Okay. If there are no more comments.
I would just like to say that I live on Abbott and Lafayette. My name is Debbie Bills. There's a lot of kids that play at that school during the summertime and stuff, and off school hours. So you might want to consider something around that. Okay. How tall is each solar panel?
From what I remember, they were 5 feet. The bottom edge was 5 feet from the ground. From there down is 5 feet. And then if you measure it from over here, it's, I think, like 7 feet or whatever that angle.
Okay. Yeah, I think he's got the highest.
Okay. And they actually talked about raising it up a little higher to make it hard for a kid to even get close to getting on it. So,
but it's all ages of kids that play down there. It's not just elementary.
Anything else from the public? I'm going to close the public hearing.
Yeah, I was basically concerned about I just said we have a lot of kids back there behind the school, all different ages, and kids up here. If I was some kid, I'd be walking over, taking a look at it, touching.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I prefer. discussion from council?
I have a couple comments.
Yeah, sure.
It was addressed. This is a giant jungle gym, and without a fence or some sort of restraining to keep the kids out, there's liability issues, the vandalism issue, and who's going to pick up the dime for that? Do the solar people do all that?
We as a city have, the city has no responsibility whatsoever.
Okay.
It's on their private property, and then they have a lease agreement with the private owner of that company, so it's between those two parties. And I think it was, some of that was addressed in their contractual arrangement about what was, but we have no liability, but nothing. I can't see how they could twist it around and try to make it our liability. It was private property and then private company that owns the equipment that would be there.
So who is paying?
The company, the business that is going to do it, they foot the bill for all the infrastructure and everything, install it. And then what happens is they maintain it, they operate it, and then the school district buys the power from this company. And that's why we're here, because it was a, more of a school was doing it, things that would be a different thing. But we felt there was kind of, it got to the point where it was almost commercial, because you have a commercial company that owns it and selling power. That's why we brought it here. That's why we had public hearings. And same thing, we took it to the Planning Commission because we felt as staff that it was kind of crossing over where it really wasn't part of the school. It was actually a business. And that's why we're here.
So if the school pays for, okay, the infrastructure and everything, I'm thinking millage. I mean, it all comes back to the citizen somehow. So the millage, I mean,
it would be just, I mean, they're buying electric at a cheaper rate than they would buy from a public utility.
Yeah.
All the infrastructure is paid for by the company. It's an investment by them. It's their capital. So really, it's not on the books of the school district at all. It just shows up. They get a bill just like they would get a utility bill from whoever the electric company would be,
okay,
but cheaper.
Mr. Buck, do you have any idea of the amount of savings per year or in total that the school district may save from this?
Next question.
We're also putting one out at Inverness, and between the two, it's going to be between $7,000-$8,000 a year, somewhere right around there.
Perfect. So for 20 years, $150,000.
Exactly, yes.
Okay.
And there is no cost to the public, there's no millage.
Right. Your school district saving.
Exactly. $7,000-$10,000
a year.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Do you have concerns about solar panels being out there without a fence?
We have talked with them about possibly a fencing, and what I'm hearing, I don't think it's an issue to put up a fence. There is a fence that separates the playground from where those panels are going up to begin with, just so you know, kids can easily access.
But just kids walking, playing around school
on the other
have access.
Yep. Well, you know, that's that thing, and that's going to be some money.
Your 2,800 square foot fence, there goes your $150,000 savings for two locations. It wouldn't make sense.
No.
I mean, kids are going to climb on anything, whether they climb on the jungle gym or.
I mean, one thing they could do, and I don't know how much more cost, is take that up from, say, 5 foot, 7 foot at the base, which makes it most kids are going to have trouble getting up on a 7 foot. Most kids can't get off the couch and play in your video game. So that might be something we need to look at and ask them to adjust that minimum height up and use that as a, you know, because you got to think about a swimming pool. Most zoning regulations, you have to have a 4 foot fence around a swimming pool. Now, when we were all kids, 4 foot fence would barely slow us down. Now, might be a different story. So, I mean, that would be a reasonable thing where they just get longer, a little bit longer pipe. Well, I tell you what, fences, I mean, you go a chain link fence around that. And again, to me, though, when you start looking at chain link fence, it also starts to get a little ugly. It looks like a prison. You know what I mean?
4,800 square feet.
Like lengthwise or whatever, how much is that?
4,800 square feet. 4,800 feet. Yeah. Okay. Is there any lighting that's going to be there with any of this?
Not necessarily that dimension, but that side.
It is on the map, though.
142 feet by 83.
Yeah.
No,
is it?
Yeah.
85, 143.
It's big.
Yeah.
5. 11.5. Oh,
that's how many
square. Yeah. So that would be roughly a little less than, right around a quarter of an acre almost.
Wow.
Okay. My next question is, if we approve this and do not require a fence, someone comes back against the city for that reason.
If, for example, it was in our code that they had to fence it and you guys told them they didn't, then could incur some liability. But in our code, it does not say we have to fence it, does not address it. So I think it would be somewhat difficult to pin liability on us.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the site plan and issue a special use permit for Sheboygan Area Schools to allow Harvest Energy Solutions LLC to install 4,800 square foot ground mounted solar arrays on the 428 Garfield Avenue, Sheboygan.
Councilman, can I ask that you make a request that I contact them to see if they can go up with the height of the poles, maybe a little bit? If that's what you desire.
That was going to be my discussion, Tom, to make the motion to include.
I personally, I don't know what the half difference is going to, is it going to make a difference?
Mm.
5 feet, 7 feet, 6 feet.
I want to say something. I'm the person that owns the house next door to that project, the school. I want to say, my name is Perry, 400 Garfield Avenue. My brother and I own the two houses next to the school, and we strongly object to this project. So, object to it in the place and in principle in general. These things are generating so much heat out west, they're killing the buzzards and the snakes and so on. I don't want one next to my house and so on. And on the other hand, this whole scheme of shutting down the power plants and going back to candles has got to be, we got to put a stop to that. It's time to object strenuously to that sort of thing. Consumers Power wants us to shut down our heat in the winter and cancel air conditioning in the summertime, and then they want the rich people to buy electric cars. I mean, how dumb is this?
All right, so I got a motion from Councilman Hoopstra, and a second from for the discussion, can we get a roll call?
Pepusky?
Yes.
Grab?
Yes.
Hukard?
Yes.
Darling?
Yes.
Tebow?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Mills?
No.
The motion passed. Mm-hmm. moving on to number seven, we have Office of Emergency Management September monthly report. Do you want to say anything about that or for someone to report on that?
It's provided electronically to us by the county, so I don't think anybody comes to report on it. So it's just more informational for you at this point. Yes, this is a
excellent report. I mean, they look really good.
Special
training, and I was very impressed by all the outside of the schools work that they're doing. Very, very thorough report.
It's nice to know what they're working on.
Thank you.
Anything else to say about that? No. Okay, moving on to number eight, we see prepaid bills and disbursements for the month of October 21st. Anyone have any questions on that?
I do. Mm-hmm. Two things.
Yes.
The light hall week,
uh-huh.
The ice cream.
Yeah.
$7,000.
Yeah, and that was only part of it.
Wow.
Yeah, they had to dig off all the concrete, replace the piping underneath. Yeah.
Okay.
And then we actually went back because they found the leak. And I said, okay, if that pipe was starting to deteriorate, dig back further. Let's go all the way back, check the whole pipe while we have it tore up, the concrete. So then once they fixed that, then we also had to go in and re-asphalt. So it was a pretty, we could probably got away a little cheaper, but I decided that in the best interest, we should go back a little further. And the pipe was weakened, and we probably in a couple of years would have to do the same thing with the rest of the pipe. So,
the only other question was the elevator and the hydraulic leak. And that bill, the DDA pay for that?
The DDA paid for the sealing of the, when they went in, they seal coated the inside of those wells or the base of the elevator, essentially. The city did pay for, however, I believe there's still some discussion as far as whether or not the DDA was going to help, but we did have to pay Otis Elevator to come out and essentially supervise while the work was being done. And that was about $7,000. So the city did pay that out of the general fund at this point, but like I said, there is some discussion about the DDA perhaps compensating for some of that as well.
They asked for us to submit a bill to them, the DDA, and they would consider paying for it. It's not in their budget right now, but they said they would look at it. You were at that particular meeting, I think, when I brought that up.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is kind of bring it up, but what is the stand? I mean, this is disbursements, and maybe we should wait like a bring it up later.
I'll try that, yeah.
Okay.
And maybe they have something
more stuff.
Great.
Okay.
But thank you for clarifying.
I can't answer that question when it comes back.
Okay. Any other questions on prepaid bills?
Motion to approve the prepaid bills.
Rab?
Yes.
Kukard?
Yes.
Darling?
Yes.
Tebow?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Mills?
Yes.
Kukoski?
Yes.
They unpaid bills and disbursement for October 2021.
One comment. If going forward, Bridget, if you could give us maybe an update once a month at our council meeting where we're at on our budget. You know, if we come December and we have spent 90% of our budget,
Do you mean, are you talking just overall or are you talking just general fund?
I know that. You know, you may go in a deficit in one department, but mm-hmm. then your general fund may have a surplus in something else.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line, where we are on the 1.2 million that was in the budget there, the surplus.
Well, I give you
it's
a budget.
Kind of like a grant.
Yeah, it's in this report, excuse me, this packet. It's the revenue and expense, and that's actually broken out by fund, and that shows what the budget is versus where we're actually at. It should be item 10A in your packet.
Okay.
Yeah, it should be the very last thing in your packet. And I did, I will admit, I struggled for whatever reason that I couldn't get the, usually I have the actual dollar amounts on the graph, but I couldn't get them to print on this graph. So, but you do, it does kind of give you an overview of those by fund. It's kind of difficult to explain, but part of my issue with that would be that you'd essentially be counting some revenues twice when you look at it just as an overall, because we take revenues into different, to various funds, but then we transfer to like the equipment. But it's going to show as revenue twice because it's going to show in two different funds as like a revenue, just if that makes sense. So I think it's going to skew our numbers a bit. So that's why I can give you those figures, but I would rather do it on a fund by fund basis. So if we could pick like the major funds that you wanted to know, or even if I took this spreadsheet and made it be added, like somehow if I could add it like a percentage wise or something for you, maybe.
That would be helpful. I just don't want to get to next June and say, oh, by the way, we're in a $500,000 deficit.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there last January and couldn't pick it out on that graph.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I'll look and see if there's something I can run on that.
Sure. All set. Any other comments? Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve the unpaid bills and disbursements for the month of October 2021. Motion from Councilwoman Rath. Second. Second from Councilwoman Mills. Roll call, please. Hubbard? Yes. Darling? Yes. Siegel? Yes. Mallory? Yes. Mills? Kokoski? Yep. Rab? Yes. Okay.
Business, we have consideration of the site planning at 399 MM Lakes Drive.
Is this the same site plan that we looked at?
Correct.
The
signatures and stuff.
Yeah, and I think what we're going to have after the fact is that the attorney has signed on behalf of the client. So, yeah.
And we also have something in there that the owners have signed over so that they back there is the duly authorized agent to act on behalf of them. So if there's any questions about signatures that don't line up or whatever, they could sign right next to them right now and make sure that, yeah, I think you have everything straightened out. Casey spent a lot of time on this and we did look at ownership and things along that line to make sure that everything's okay with the state of Michigan, and so I think we're in a decent position to move forward. And I think there's only one condition left on there, was the parking spaces to ensure that they're paved and they're 10 by 20.
Yeah, they have pre-paved, correct? Is that what I saw?
No, I think it's a little more than that, but yeah.
Okay.
Did any questions for Dave, you said? Yeah. Okay. Did you want to say something about it?
I just wished I was here last week, but I don't know if that would help. If there's any questions, I worked on the site plan, and I think we got all the issues resolved. So thank Dan and Casey for helping out.
Any other questions?
Approve the site plan application for JTY Realty Building Committee located at 399 and under.
Okay.
Okay.
Any Councilman Ram, second by Councilman Kuchowski.
It's contingent upon the parking spaces, is that what I heard?
Yeah, okay. They must be paved.
Yeah, okay. That's what I think the site plan we have, the documents say. Conditions with conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's in the memo for me.
Okay. No other discussion. Roll call, please.
Darling.
Yes.
Tebow.
Yes.
Mallory.
Yes.
Mills.
No.
Kokoski.
Yes.
Rab. Bukart.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on to consideration of appointment for appointing Keith Knecht to Historic Resources Commission. Discussion or a motion?
Make a motion to appoint Keith Beck to the Historical Resource Commission.
Okay. Motion by Councilwoman Mills. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, second by Councilwoman Darling. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, motion passed. Consideration of appointment for Molly Thomas to the Historic Resources Commission. So, I should have said the first one was expiring March 25th, 2022. The second term for Molly Thomas would expire March 25th, 2024.
Make a motion to appoint Molly Thomas.
Okay, motion by Councilwoman Rabb.
Second.
Second by Councilwoman Mills. All in favor?
Okay,
motion passed. City clerks and treasurer's comments.
I don't have anything else for you tonight. We had a really smooth election last week, and we've been doing some interviewing, and I think Dan will kind of update you on where we're at with those, but busy couple of weeks, but good.
Yeah, currently interviewing for clerk.
We did first round of interviews last Thursday.
How many are here?
We interviewed 6 or 7 folks, and then we're going to narrow that down for you folks to then interview for the second. So I think they'll have 3 or 4 for the second round. I know. I haven't seen you guys in forever, but
I may have to ask Courtney to hold that over there so I can read it. I was cleaning my glasses before the meeting, and I snapped them in two. So. So if I'm having a little trouble, you know, bear with me here. I had a meeting with the Tip of the Mitt organization regarding the Little Black River. We did see an article in the newspaper, I believe, a couple of weeks ago regarding that. I think they're willing to help us in working on developing the structure and the finances for the County Drainage Commission. We have a County Drainage Commission that does not have any resources in it. There are agreements out there from 1960 that the city of Sheboygan will take care of all the ditches, the dams, and things like that out in the township, which is a huge financial burden. So that's something we need to look at. We do have a couple county commissioners that are interested in working with us on that so that we can address some of those things as soon as possible. One of the dams, I think, needs about $1 million possibly of work on it. So you got to think about our limited resources here and then being able to take care of something that is partially in and partially out of the city. So Tip of the Mitt is going to schedule a meeting between the county, ourselves, and other partners in the area to start moving forward with that. They said they'd like to do that here sometime before the end of the year. Anna or Cita volunteer, fellow, went out to the commissioners today and actually walked along numerous parts of the river to get a better idea of what's out there, and she took some pictures for me that I could not attend. As part of that Tip of the Mitt meeting, we also talked about the fishing pier. The plans have been approved. The documents have been put together to put it out to bid. We're going to try to get that out here in the next week or so. And those bids will be due sometime mid-December. So I can come back to council meeting with our recommendations to you on which contractors to use so that we can move forward. Now, some of that work can be done in the winter, and we may get lucky because of the fact that we're going to have people pouring a lot of concrete right down the road here for our wastewater treatment plant. So if they got the plant running to pour, you know, to make the concrete, mix that concrete, we may be able to get some across the river. We've also already approached the Fisheries Council and said, look, we may have some issues with meeting the deadline for the grant. So we are going to ask them and kind of be preemptive and say, hey, look, can you give us to October? We figure they may come back and say, well, how about July or June? And, you know, we'd be more than happy to accept that. So we're already working on that. And that's that part. Okay. Jason Carmel hired Matt Van Dorn to be the new lab tech at the wastewater treatment plant. He starts on November 22nd. Sarah Swanberg was hired to be our new utility billing clerk. She started yesterday. She's doing a great job. I think she's going to fit in well with the excellent staff that we have here in Town Hall. Bridget and Casey did narrow down the candidates for the clerk to 3 or 4 candidates. I know we already sent an email out to Ken asking him to join us on that interviewing committee since he was a clerk treasurer there for a while. And then we're going to ask Brett to sit in for Mayor Tebow on the final interviews for that. We're hoping to do that sometime next week so that we possibly get somebody in here by December. So the good news is we're going to be kind of up and running and ready to go in January with a nice complement of staff to undertake everything we have to do. This week, I think it's Thursday morning, I am going to do an interview with Mike Grisdale with Black Diamond Broadcasting. So look for my friendly, cheerful voice on the radio a few times, I think. Inverness Township, Greg Elliott was on vacation 2 weeks ago. I was on vacation last week. Jason Carmel had council numbers. So we're hoping to sit down this coming week with them or early next week to go over the numbers because our numbers and their numbers look a little bit different, as you can imagine. And once we are able to sit down and go over that, then we have to figure out our next step. I also met, I had to find a place in Southern Ohio that my cell phone would actually work. Fairly remote down there in one part where I was at. And I did have a meeting with the developer of Kmart's and some of his partners. And we had an excellent conversation. It's an exciting project. We had a while to go on it, but I just want to let you know that we did meet with them again, and hopefully we can get that moving. We have a meeting coming up with the developer for our electric charging stations. We do have a draft agreement that they put together that I'm going through, and then hopefully we can come back to council soon with that so that we can get moving on that project. Get everything squared away, go after the grant so that maybe we get that started soon. Boys Blanc Township, we won that tax tribunal case. I think I told you that. With that, we broke a little bit. We're probably even based on winning that with the amount we had to spend for extra legal counsel. But I think it sends a strong message out there that, look, we're going to fight for every tax dollar that we are, you know, are supposed to get, and we're not just going to roll over. So I think that's a good thing. I have started working on the marijuana ordinance update. I made some progress on it, did a lot of reading on vacation about marijuana. I think I got a good grasp on it so that we can make some minor corrections on the forms as well as the ordinance to get that moving in the right direction. Bridget and I have been working on our American Recovery Act funds. Hopefully we need to meet with the chief, who's now back from vacation. We also need to meet with Craig and Scott Hancock, and then I think we've got all the department heads taken care of. So we should put that together. Remember, we're kind of stressing a number of things. How do we save money? You know, how do we invest to save money? How do we generate funds? How do we protect our employees and guarantee safety of the community? So that's kind of our driving force that we're using. Technology too. Sorry, I forgot that. The infrastructure bill passed by Congress, initial rumblings and things, it's $1.2 trillion. And right now, from what I've been hearing, less than 10% of that is going to be on what we call traditional infrastructure, road, water, sewer lines, things like that, that we so desperately need. So I got a feeling, you know, you do the math on 1.2 trillion, 10%, not a lot of money. And you got New York City and San Francisco and some of those. So the competition is going to be tough for that money. And we do have in our wastewater treatment plant, we have some things that we had to take out of that that were already engineered. And then we have the water for the tower, the lines, and some of those things. We already have those engineered. So we're in good shape there. I think we are looking at this building too to see what we need to do with this particular building and the improvements we need to make on that. So we're trying to assemble a number of packages that are ready to go. So as they start announcing it, we say, oh, yeah, by the way, we do have this one. So we are preparing for that. And somebody else asked a question that I needed to answer. We asked HRC to give us a proposal. Engineering firm. We have too many. We asked them when I was at the DDA meeting. I said, "Hey, look, I'm new, but it seems like we're pouring a lot of money into that thing. And is there something we can do?" So they agreed, and so we said, "Time out." Mm-hmm. I had Jason approach HRC and say, "Can you give us a bid?" That would give us an idea of, okay, what's wrong with it? Can it be fixed? If it cannot be fixed, is there a way we can modify it, whether we add the different ramps or, you know, put the motors out of the pit and put them on top and come back with some ideas for us? Again, if we get some of the ideas and some basic engineering and some money comes up, we can say, here we go, we got this ready. Just look at this, please. So,
meters are extremely, extremely costly, no matter where you have them. And did anybody, I know there's been a leak, and then they thought they sealed it, and there's still a leak. Does anybody, I took people, well, we texted. Has anybody thought about asking, like, RIMA or, you know, some of the marine contractors that work with things that are under the water and underground, that maybe they have a better way of approaching it than
they?
Elevator.
The problem is, well, like you said, it's underwater. They sit, the pits sit below the water level.
Right.
And even though we patch it, there's still things that come up into those pits that they have to be sealed by gaskets or other things that can, you know, rupture, move, whatever it may be. So the best way would be to get those motors and stuff out of those pits and put them on top if we can do that. So I figured instead of us spending, you know, trying to keep throwing money at this thing, let's get some solid answers that we can base our decisions on for the future.
I was just curious, you know, I mean, they're right here in town.
Yeah.
And maybe they have an expertise in that kind of stuff that we've never asked the elevator people about.
I would assume, it's wrong on my part, but I would assume that they were consulted when they hired the contractor to seal those concrete bases.
It sounds like the water is good for now. The water leak is good for now. It's just the hydraulic leak right now.
We do have a leak in one of the elevators, so hydraulic oil is in the pit. Good thing is we do have it sealed nice, so it's staying in that pit. Yes. So now we got to go and try to get that out of that pit in an environmentally safe manner. And you're so close to the water there. So,
yeah. Wait. I mean, I think one of the things you talked about was the alternative way of people getting up there, like a ramp,
right,
instead of moving the motors on top. Cost would be, to me, the same.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think some people had concern if we ramp it,
yeah,
it's going to take up the one whole side of the park over here.
Yeah.
There's plenty of room on the other side, but.
And before you got here, Dan, that, you know, we used to refer to it as the bridge to nowhere because it didn't go. I mean, it just went across the river. But now it goes someplace. It goes to the children's trail. It goes to a lot of other things that are a draw for people that come to visit. And
it's
looking into, but I know it's going to be possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's a shame. It's such a nice feature.
Oh, it is.
That, yeah. So we'll see.
That reminds me, do you know anything about painting on the other bridge?
One of the things we're looking is to prioritize things.
Yeah.
And one of the priorities that, you know, we talked with Jason about was, okay, what do? We paint that bridge. It would look nice. Mm-hmm. Things like that. Are we going to try to fix some curbs and sidewalks and streets and things like that? So we figure we can probably hold out. I think Jason figures we can hold out a little bit longer, maybe a couple of years, before it gets to the point where we're doing damage to that structure. So we're trying to stretch it out, but another perfect project for some of the Fed money coming out.
Yeah. I had a wager power strip.
There we go.
No, the sad part about that, and I'm sure it's wrong for you, but was when they did it and they poured it, they didn't let the cement seal properly before they painted it. That's why it's doing it. And I think it's way too long after the fact to go back to the builder or, you know, say, hey, this is what you guys do for a living, and you painted it before the cement was sealed. And that's why it's peeling and chipping.
And any paint that's used on a bridge is, I mean, if you ever pick up a gallon of paint that's used on a bridge, you know, a gallon of water is what, eight pounds? It's like 20, 30 pounds of container, because there's all kinds of heavy metals in there. So then when you're scraping it and you're trying to deal with that, and you know, it gets very costly. Bridge sometimes is not too expensive to paint. It's actually prepping the bridge and getting it ready for it to be painted is where the cost lies.
Yeah. Just, it's labor intensive. Yeah. Questions? Any comments about his report? Okay. Couple comments. 3 minutes per participant. If you have a comment, stand and say your name. Okay. We'll close public comments. Council, no council response comments. So committee update.
Finance committee meets Tuesday next week. Okay. Last one, I believe, is canceled, right? I'm sorry. Yeah, well, nothing from me.
We all know the Historic Resource Commission. We're in the process of revising the ordinance to make it more in line with state guidelines. And there's a lot of work that's been done to it. One of the things we learned, and I've said this before, is that the members of the commission have to reside within the city. We got a full complement of commissioners, and then there was a little fine line in the state law that we discovered. So we're in the process of, you know, engaging people in the community that have have heart and interest in historic preservation. And so we're doing that. Until the ordinance is actually revised and presented, it has to be, I think it's a public hearing we have to have for the revision. So everything in that regard is status quo. The 911 board is meeting tomorrow. They changed the date. I had already had a city commitment, so I can't be there, but they're still in the process. So they have a new commissioner that's been appointed to the board, which is Michael Newman. And they're actually contacting the various townships in the area, because the way they changed it is that they want two commissioners and then an elected official that's decided on by the powers of the surrounding communities. And Marcia Rushwell and I were the only two that were put up there and the alternate. Now we find that there are other communities and townships that are interested. So that's on hold. So I may or may not have a report on that.
Okay.
And that's not a committee, but
no, it's not.
No. When we had the tour of the Mackinac, the postcard cutter, I was in touch with the Army Corps of Engineers out of the Detroit office and talked to them about dredging. And they surveyed us in August of this year. And according to their standards for width and depth of our river as a federally navigable waterway, we're fine. They need all kinds of steps that we can take. For instance, knew that the Coast Guard really was serious about issuing another Coast Guard cutter or buoy tender, and they wanted a dock here. And if they required additional dredging and space for, you know, turning around in the harbor and stuff, we can then make a case for that. But the expression, it takes an act of Congress, is not an exaggeration. It truly is an amazingly complex process. So I've been in touch with some key people, and they've given me a lot of information. So as we go forward, if that's what we end up really wanting to do for our Coast Guard people and our boats, we can pursue it at a later date. At this point, it's kind of a, you know, we're good as far as they're concerned. We're not on their agenda for any upcoming dredging projects. So it was, it's
interesting. Yeah, so that's not something we could talk about.
It's not even something that you, it's not something like we're writing a letter saying, hey, can you come and dredge us a little bit more on this side of the
room?
Well, then he said, do you know when the Coast Guard's planning on, you know, and I said, he said it's like in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years.
Oh, yeah, I have. Okay.
But I can find it. I can do that.
Yeah. All right. Well,
yeah, good. Okay. Thank you.
At a DDA, they were talking about having a closed session, but this was for some staffing issues, but they tabled that because they were unclear on whether they could. So it didn't happen. The TIF plan final draft, we approved a public hearing. It's
first meeting in December.
December, okay.
Yeah, first
we approved that this last meeting for a public hearing for the TIF plan final draft adoption. And that was approved. We approved the public hearing, assuming that the final draft would be approved, and it was. They're doing a light up local downtown. Like you're going to see a whole bunch of Christmas trees downtown, like we did last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the last I heard was there are 15 out of 40 left to purchase or to buy or sponsor, whatever. And it must have been a week or less before that I talked again that it was only 15 were purchased. So they're selling really quickly, it sounds like, if they're not gone already anymore.
Mm-hmm.
HHH, it's the hometown
Heroes.
Yes, okay, it's the company we're working on getting a contract with them, a 2-year commitment you were looking at, Dan?
Yes.
Commitment for them to do all the maintenance, I'm assuming, on the... light poles.
Yeah.
It sounds like about every other light pole, because of spacing, so it doesn't look strange because of street signs and different things like that. It sounds like it's going to be about every other street pole that there would be a sign on.
He said, we're asking for a 2-year commitment with two-year options. So if it goes well, then we can renew it, because they were asking for a 6-year commitment.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not willing to do that. I'll go 2, and then if it goes right, then we can go to another 2, and then we can.
Casey wasn't here when she gave the presentation, so I don't know if you're aware of what that means. It's very, very cool.
Do you understand?
I just heard it say signs on every other street.
Have you been up to Sault Ste. Marie?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
Yes, I was here. But,
yeah.
Or I read it somewhere. Yes, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it's very cool. Yes.
And it'd be on the main street and near at Fort Street, I believe, is the other place by the Veterans Park. Yeah.
Do you know how many have been sold or obligated?
Not as far as I know, because we haven't signed a contract with them yet.
Right.
We sent the contract review to Steve Lindsay. Steve came back last week with some comments, concerns, things like that. And we got to meet with them to iron those out.
Not the gal that gave the presentation said that we had 12
already committed?
I think that's just tentative.
Okay.
Formal commitment?
Yeah. Yeah, because we haven't said yes yet.
What she explained, they'll sell super quick, but yeah, we'll see. I don't think anything else for that.
Housing committee will meet next Wednesday, so I'll have a report the following week on that.
Okay.
And the other thing is, a while back when I was first appointed, there was a presentation on the beanery, cool presentation. And I had asked at the time, when do you expect to go into operation? And the answer was, oh, Labor Day-ish. And I said, well, that's pretty aggressive. Where are we on that? Is it still paper in the window?
The last thing I knew, we had a meeting with them, and they had an issue with an underground storage tank that was under the sidewalk, about 2 foot. The top was about 2 foot down. But yet, the good thing was it was above our water and sewer line, so it was not, it didn't have to be dug up underneath that. They are supposed to get the soil borings done. This was our position as the city. Soil borings done on each side of that tank and go down. If it comes back and there was no leakage of that tank, I think there's a couple hundred gallons of heating oil in there. They'll remove that heating oil and then fill it with gravel and sand. And then we'll allow them to leave that in place. However, if the borings come back and there's an issue, and that it's leaked, then things get a lot more complicated at that point.
Is this a surprise?
For them, yes, it was very much a surprise, but back in the days, that's what they always used to do, because there was no room to put a tank.
Yeah.
So they would put it in an alley, they would put it in a parking lot, they would put it under a sidewalk, sometimes under the street. So that tank belongs to the property owner. And so, yeah, and it's...
Yes, Diane, what happened was when they were going with their finances through the bank and through Eagle, they found a meter down in the basement. And it was like, what's this meter to nowhere? And that's I don't even think the prior owner knew it was there. I can't say for sure. I don't think Susan knew it was there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it came about. But
that's something when you start ripping things up.
Yeah. So now, what they got to do, now they're in a situation where they got to get it tested, they got to do that process, and then it set them back a little bit of time, but I was surprised on how reasonable of a price they got to do that filling. We even told them, hey, we'll take the concrete, when they take the concrete off the top, we'll take that, if it's clean, we'll take it, we'll take it and grind it for them. So we did agree to take the concrete form if it's clean.
It's costing them money every day they're not open, so I'm sure they'd like to go forward as soon as they can.
Oh, is there any state funding for remediation?
There was, because we had a meeting, Eagles on Zoom, and they said, hey, there might be some money out there, and somebody else said something, and but I think possibly the bank may step up and say, hey, look, we'll just, tap it onto your loan or whatever it may be. But it's not a ton of money. It's $15,000, which is not a ton of money when you're dealing with things like that.
Yeah, 20 years ago, we had what was called a must fund for the state of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And that was paying for a lot of those removals.
Yeah. But I think sometimes when you decide to get involved with the government, it's easier to go to the bank and get the money than it is to try to get the grant, because it takes so long.
Yeah.
So
thank you.
No problem.
And I think, and actually, Ken, too, there's so many grants out there right now. I think banks are much more willing to work with people because they know the grant money is available if you just jump to it.
Well, we could just do what a lot of places did 20 years ago. Underground tanks were disappearing in the middle of the night. There was a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, things that all the truck now.
You were all set with your.
Yes, that was it. Thank you.
And I'm assuming the mayor, if he hasn't already talked to you about being on a committee.
Yeah, I was just Mayor?
He's gone.
He may have lost.
He's off the call.
I think that's one thing we got to look at.
I missed you, boss being sworn in, so.
Mary was it?
Have you been sworn in?
Yes.
Oh, I missed that too.
You were here yet.
Yeah. One thing we got to do is print out a list of committees, okay, and then make sure that we adequately have them addressed by members of council.
Right.
So we'll do that. I'll get a hold of the mayor and we can allow him. That's good thing he can think about while he's second round recovering. So.
And speaking of which, when I spoke to him today, he still would like to have an organizational committee. He is a private home. We can go there whenever your schedule and that's in mind could work out. He wants the stimulation, wants to be involved. So, yeah. You know, so there's no restriction on that's how many businesses. Okay.
Mayor, messages and communications. Just start over here and go down. Yeah,
I've had enough.
Okay. I'm good there.
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. Anything to say?
I'm excited to be here.
I did receive two communications from citizens regarding issues. One was a curb gutter type thing that I'm going to respond to them, and another one had concerns about audio visual posting stuff online and things along that line. So I already sent an email back to that individual addressing their concerns, explaining to them how we're going to address technology coming up through the use of the American Care Funds, and then also that we will have, the billing clerk position filled and the clerk position. So starting next year, we're going to start addressing more of that, of the technology and web page. I do respond to those as soon as they come in. I usually sit down as soon as possible and answer those. And then, the one on the curb and gutter, I did forward to Jason. And Jason was out this afternoon, so I'm sure he'll get back to me tomorrow morning.
Is anybody else on council getting emails that say your email?
Yes. Last chance, anything else?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second. All right, meeting is adjourned. All right. Motion by Council Bukowski, second by Council Bumble.
All in favor?
Aye. Meeting was adjourned.
Congratulations.